Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night. Hockey Night in Canada, as well as on the Oilers Radio Network. Tonight at the DCA, the Edmonton Oil Kings are in action. And at this time, we are going to head off on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline and hook up with Oil Kings General Manager Kurt Hill. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you?
Good. A bye week, just a couple of weeks into the season, but a byproduct, I guess, of the uniqueness of the schedule this year.
Yeah, totally. It's, again, with how different the league is this year and everything we've been dealing with, to find a 13 days off and when you're four games in is a little bit different. But, we're through our first bye week. We're going to have one more, I think, by the end of the season. But we're through that, and I think the guys are excited to be back on the ice tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had Brent Sutter on the show. I guess it would have been on Tuesday. The Rebels have got a little bit younger team, and your team's obviously undefeated this year, right in your wheelhouse. Let's talk about the start to the season, a sweep against Lethbridge, and then a sweep against Medicine Hat, who's got a pretty good team as well. Were you happy with the 4-0 start to the year?
Yeah, we were definitely happy with it. Obviously, you don't want to be too critical. It's the guys haven't played hockey for a long time, so it was nice to see them get their feet under them. I thought the games last weekend, obviously, they were a little bit tighter than the first weekend. And, you know, especially the Saturday night, it was a tight game. Like, it really reminded me more of a regular season down the stretch of a normal year. And, our guys played a real solid shutdown third period, and Atkinson, our captain, gets the game winner there with about 8 minutes left. So a real solid effort on the road, and really happy seeing the guys come away with that one for sure.
On average, how many players on a WHL team can one-time the puck like Dylan Gunther?
Well, you know, probably on our team, I think with his accuracy is the biggest thing. I mean, the guys can hit one-timers at this level, but, you know, for him to do it with the accuracy, and him, he's so good at changing his body positioning based on where the pass is coming to get that shot off with the power and the accuracy of it. So it's pretty impressive with what he's able to do. And, you know, the one-timer is one thing, but it's the quick snapshot that is really impressive when he gets that off in the slot. You know, it's 9 out of 10 times at the back of the net.
I mean, there were two pretty good players in the Western League a couple of years ago up for the draft. Kirby Dach, Saskatoon Blades, Dylan Cousins in Lethbridge, and those guys both went in the top eight of the draft and top seven of the draft, obviously Dach going third overall. But I got to tell you, in terms of pure goal scorers out of the WHL over the course of the last 15 years, I'd be hard, and I know that Bob McKenzie, TSN, during, I think it was around the World Juniors, put a ranking out for the top players for the upcoming draft. And he sources out 10 NHL scouts. He had Dylan Gunther as the highest ranked forward for this upcoming draft, which is rare for a winger. But you're a former NHL amateur scout as well. It's pretty rare when you can see a guy finish at that level. And I'll tell you, from my perspective, all the years I've done, the biggest thing I've noticed, what separates the elite goal scorers is the ability to one-time pucks, right, and to accurately be able to do it. And it's the difference between guys that score 23 to 28 goals and guys that can score 38 to 45. You know what I'm saying?
No, totally. And it's just, again, when even if it's not a pure one-timer and it's just a quick snapshot from the slot, it's on a stick, off his stick so quick. And, I mean, when he gets an opportunity to have two-on-ones down the stretch and really gets to take his time and find his spot, it's pretty impressive what he's able to do in that situation. But, yeah, you're right. In those small area spaces, when he gets the puck in front of the net, you don't even see it on a stick. It's difficult to deal with if you're a goaltending or a visiting defender in this rink.
You have three games this weekend against Red Deer. I'm going to assume Sebastian Kosa, the plan probably isn't to start all three games, is it?
No, he's going to play two of the games, and I think at some point here, well, obviously this weekend, Colby Knight, one of our other well, we have three goalies right now here now, Colby Knight and also Colby Hay. So Knight's 17, Hay's 16. So Kosa will play two of them, and Knight will get his first start at some point this weekend.
How good of a goalie is Sebastian Kosa?
Yeah, he just keeps getting better. That's the thing about him. You know, I think going back and looking since my time here, you know, at 16, us sending him back to Fort Saskatchewan, you know, when he was going to be our backup that year, and I think it was really good for his development, him going back there and playing a lot. You know, at the time, I don't think he was too happy about that, being sent back. He wanted to be in the league, but, you know, it just goes to show how much of a competitor he was and wanting to be here. But him going back and playing, and then last year, I thought he was playing really well early, and when Beck Warm came in here at the deadline, you know, I think he really help Sebastian get to that next level from a professionalism standpoint and really understanding the work he needs to do away from the rink and with his training in the off season. And, you know, I think he really zeroed in on that this off season and got really focused on his off season training program, eating the right way. And, you know, he's come back this year with a man on a mission, and he's been exceptional so far.
Is it, and look, I realize you're managing a team, but is it possible the Oil Kings could have two first round picks in this year's NHL draft?
Well, you know, from all the calls we manage them from the NHL teams on a day-to-day basis. I mean, they're both guys that a lot of teams are extremely high on. And I think, you know, Dylan, it's obviously coming into the season that if he was going to be able to kind of leave off where he was, what he was doing last season, he was going to for sure be a first rounder this year. And with Kosa, I think some people had question marks. And, you know, through these first four games, if he keeps this up, I would probably be pretty safe to say he's going to have an extremely good chance to be selected in the first round.
Are you guys being pressed? We're joined right now by Kurt Hill. He's the president and GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Are you guys being stressed differently because of the limitations that some organizations have? I mean, I know I've been to the two Friday night games, the opening game against Lethbridge and then the game against Medicine. I thought there was about 12 to 15 scouts there. But are you being asked to provide video of your guys and that sort of thing?
You know, nothing's too detailed. You know, I know there's some teams that would like to get into practices and watch a little bit there, which we can't have with our protocols right now. So I think there's been some requests there that maybe once we get going a little bit more, if things were to open up a bit, I could see some of the teams wanting their guys to get into practices and see how guys perform at that area. But, you know, I think with just how accessible everything is through video platforms now, like Instat or even just WHL Live, from a video standpoint, they have, you know, they got all that right at their fingertips now. But in the sense of guys calling to, you know, do background checks and really try to understand that, you know, that next level of who they are as people, those are definitely the calls right now that I think teams are doing their due diligence on.
Right now, Gunther's playing, you mentioned, on the line with Cade Oliver and St. Louis first-round pick Jake Neighbors. It must be pretty reassuring to have a line at that level right now in this all-Alberta division.
Yeah, you know, again, for Cade to come in and be able to play with those two guys, those are elite guys. It's not easy to, you know, everybody wants to play on that one with guys like that. Obviously, it helps and you know, raises your profile as well. But it's not easy to play with them. They're elite level players, thinkers. You know, they play at such an up tempo and pace that you know, I commend the kid for Cade to come in and be able to find some chemistry with them and be able to play up to that level here early in the year. And hopefully, those three can keep doing what they've been doing here early in the season.
Former first-round pick Caleb Reimer got into a couple games against Medicine Hat. He's just 16. He's a 6'4", 194-pound. You guys drafted him as a center. I think you had him on right wing, if I recall correctly, against Medicine Hat. What'd you think of him?
I liked him, you know, through those first two games last week, and I thought he played really well. Just, you know, hasn't had much time in the league, and just with not having played much hockey at all this year, you know, really liked him that first weekend. And, you know, I think he's a guy that's just going to get better and better. He's a young 16-year-old. He's a late birthday, so youngest player on our team by far. So, but yeah, good first weekend. He's a guy that is on the wing, yeah, right now, but you know, with a lot of our scouting, Jamie and I talk about it a lot. You know, he's a guy that's played center at minor hockey, and it's always easier to move a guy to the wing to the center, and it's nice to have the luxury of some guys within your organization that can play both positions.
Jalen Lupin, I noticed him on a bit of a glue guy for your team.
Yeah, totally. You know, he's one of those guys that just, he works so hard, and it really just, you know, accepts and really cherishes the opportunities that he's given. At the end of the day, he accepts his role, works hard. You know, he's one of our best penalty killers in our group. And, you know, the difference this year is he's starting to put the puck in the net. I think his shots got a lot better over the summer. He definitely looks like he's put some work into that. And, you know, through four games, he's got three goals. And, you know, these aren't tap-in goals that he's been scoring. He's been eyes up with the goalie, and he's been putting them by him. So three nice shots. Hopefully he can keep that production up.
How do you think you guys match up against Red Deer for the game tonight and Sunday and at the DCA Saturday in Red Deer?
Yeah, we haven't played them yet, so it'll be interesting to see how the game goes tonight. You know, it's they're a team that pretty much their whole team's back from last year, so they obviously got a group that's played together for a while. They don't have not too many rookies on their team. They're a younger team still, but not that many rookies. So it's a group that obviously is bonded well together. They always compete hard and give an honest effort. So we've had a lot of good games with them over the last couple of seasons. So looking forward to three good ones this weekend.
Kurt, appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Toff. Have a good one.
You bet. That is Kurt Hill. He's President GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Royal Pizza, pizza past and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. Royal Pizza offers curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation, Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean chicken. When we come back, we will talk to a guy who is loving it in every way, shape, or form. Cam Moon, one of the Oilers' two radio play-by-play voices this season.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chad.
It's 1:46 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you. We're going to bring Cam Moon aboard for the next 7 minutes. Mooner, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in Edmonton.
It is. How much fun did you have last night calling the game?
Oh, so fun. And even though the first period, not a lot happened, but still, it was a tight game. The Oilers found a way to win. They didn't have to just try and outscore their opponents or outscore any kind of defensive miscues. They played really well in their own end. They limited the opportunities when there were opportunities. You got Mikko Koskinen with 24 out of 25 last night. It went right down to the wire. Totally enjoyable. A beautiful evening, I thought.
It's off the charts what McDavid's doing this season, isn't it?
Oh, my God. So he scores two. I mean, he could have had 6 points last night. Like, it was crazy. And we heard Dave Tippett talk about it after the game, how excited he was, but, you know, how well he's played defensively and maybe he doesn't get enough credit for that. And part of the reason is because he's so good offensively, it's hard not to notice that. But I just thought that his ability to just pick up the puck and go and his speed is such a handful and looking off players with a potential pass and then the ability to put it exactly where he wants it. And that, both those goals were relatively the same shot in an almost undefendable position where it's 2 feet off the ice inside the post on the stick side. That's an incredibly hard shot to stop. And yeah, we're very fortunate here that we get not only Connor McDavid, there's a lot more to be excited about, of course, on this team, Leon Draisaitl, Tyson Berry, Darnell Nurse, you name it. The list goes on. But Connor was right at the top of his game last night.
Laurent Brossoit was almost at a loss for words last night. So, too, was Paul Maurice. As a former WHL goaltender yourself, could you imagine having to face a guy like that coming at it at that pace with that sort of skill?
No. I know I'd be on the bench awfully quick. Yeah, Brossoit, and that's the thing. Like, you look at Laurent Brossoit played a really good game last night. He did. And those were two goals that were legitimate goals. Like, there's not much you can do. They were perfect shots. The one, he just hops off the bench, gets the puck, walks it towards the front, picks it. The other one's a two-on-one where he's looking past. And as a goaltender, you have to respect the pass, but you have to worry about the shot. And then he perfectly places it in the same spot. Like, I could understand the frustration from Brossoit after the game, knowing that you gave it all you had, you did what you could do, you held the Edmonton Oilers to two goals in their rink on the second half of a back-to-back, albeit for both teams, and still that wasn't enough. So, yeah, he's incredible talent, and I can absolutely feel for Brossoit after the game because I thought he played very well.
Cam, you did play-by-play how long for the Red Deer Rebels?
22 seasons.
Okay, you've seen Sebastian Kosa play in between the pipes. He's the best goaltender in the WHL since who, in your opinion?
I would probably say Carter Hart. I would say when Hart played in the WHL, and again, he was in the other conference, so we don't see him as much, yep. But he had that same type of look. I'm not saying the same style. What I'm saying is the same type of look, where he looked like a pro when he was in junior. Some guys play in junior and they look like junior goalies, but can move on to pro and then develop into pro goaltenders. Some guys are already at that level when they're in the WHL, and it's very few, like very few. And to me, Carter Hart was one of those guys. And Sebastian Kosa is one of those guys. An NHL scout called me today asking about some thoughts on Kosa, because I did get to see him quite a bit last season and this year a couple of times. And that's what I'm seeing, is that he looks like he's pro-ready and will be close to it. And is a guy that I would think in his 19-year-old year will have a really good shot at playing World Juniors, and his 20-year-old year he'll be in pro hockey at some level. So there's good athleticism, but there's economy of movement as well. And what I mean by that is he's in the right spot. He plays the position very well that way, in that he doesn't have to make a lot of extra movements to get to the right spot because he's already there. And he anticipates the play very well, too. Plays the puck, I think, very well for a junior goaltender. There's a lot to like about him, and I think there's a ton of NHL scouts that are certainly interested in him right now.
All right, Darcy Kuemper started for Red Deer for 3 years. The final year is at .933 save percentage. He's become a pretty good goalie for Arizona. Did you see him at the same age, like the way you're seeing Kosa, or is Kosa a better prospect than Kuemper?
Oh, no. Yeah, Kosa's farther along, for sure. Kuemper played, when Kuemper was 17 years old, he was still playing AAA midget. You know, Kuemper came along later, and then he came to the Red Deer Rebels at 18 and was really good, and then at 19 was even a little better, and then came back at 20 and was exceptional. Yep. Sebastian Kosa will not be playing junior hockey at 20 years old. Like, he's going to be a pro by then. So, yeah, he's a little bit farther along. Darcy took a little longer for his, and everybody's path is different. Does that mean Kosa is going to have a better NHL career? No, that doesn't actually at all. It guarantees him absolutely nothing. But it just points out that at this point in his career, he's a little farther along than Darcy was at that point.
Cam, we'll be seeing you shortly. Thanks for your time.
I love it. Thanks for having me on.
That is Cam Moon, one of the Oilers 2 radio play-by-play voices. Jack Michaels, by the way, will have the call with myself and Rob Brown, Reed Wilkins, the Oilers Radio Network, and Cam coming up Saturday night, the face-off show at 6:30, the puck drop at 8 p.m. We are going to go to this day in Oilers history, brought to you by Dennis and Jason Oliberti and the team at New West Travel, and back in the 6:30 Chad Studios, Brendan Escott.
And back in 1982, Wayne Gretzky scored a goal and an assist to give him 500 career NHL points. Milestone coming in as 234th career game as the Oilers, well, they tied 3-3 with Calgary at Northlands Coliseum.
All right, let's do this. What does Reed Wilkins have coming up on Inside Sports Night from 6 to 8 p.m.?
A little bit more on that game last night and what lies ahead against Winnipeg tomorrow. So far, that's it.
All right, coming up today at 2 p.m., Edmonton's Fire Rescue Services has announced it's partnering with Wounded Warriors Canada to offer programs specifically developed to support the uniformed service members and their families. Wounded Warriors Canada's Executive Director, Scott Maxwell, joins 6:30 Ched Afternoons and guest host Daryl McIntyre after the 2 o'clock news. This wraps up our show today. Absolutely. We'll see what sort of pitchers the Oilers put up tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. Have a wonderful weekend. Up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.